Down the sideline, touchdown!
And he looks the other way, and it's intercepted!
Welcome to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
Inside the five, Watkins to the end zone.
Brought to you by 7th Street Casino and GEHA Insurance.
And it's Williams with another touchdown!
Here are your hosts, Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show as your Kansas City Chiefs survive in Mexico City, win 24-17. The Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. If you want to join us, 913-576-7610. You can also reach us on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line, 69306. Really a tale of two halves. I thought the first half, the offense was overwhelming. So was the defense. But Phillip Rivers was just flat out bad in the first half. The Chiefs manage a 10-9 lead. In the second half, the Chiefs defense really stepped up. Patrick Mahomes started a connection with Travis Kelce. And despite no Tyreek Hill, what was, in my opinion, an inexcusable lack of aggressiveness by the Chiefs offense late in the game, a terrible interception dropped by Tyrann Mathieu, guys like Frank Clark stepped up, Patrick Mahomes stepped up, Rashad Fenton stepped up when it was big, and then Daniel Sorensen with the final pick of the game. There's a lot of times that we blame the Chiefs defense, but they really did the job in the second half to lead the Chiefs to victory.
No question. Good second half adjustments for Steve Spagnuolo. For a while there, this offense, 312 yards in the first half. The Chiefs had limited them to 65 yards there until that final drive. Chargers ended up with 438 yards of total offense. Most of those come in the first half before they made those adjustments. But, Pete, as I said all night, and I said it before, this division is so nice for the Chiefs. The Chiefs came into this game winning 9 out of the last 10 against the Chargers. 9 out of 10 against the Raiders. Andy Reid now 24-3 against this division since 2015. And look at all the divisional games ahead. Chargers are incompetent. The Chargers will charge you. As I've told you, Phillip Rivers now, 9 interceptions, 9 in 3 games against the AFC West. Between the Broncos, 3 against the Raiders, they dominated that game against the Raiders, found a way to lose. The Chargers are one of these teams that find a way to lose. At this point, I know the Raiders were on the heels of the Chiefs. Come on, they're going to find a way to lose. They almost found a way to lose to the Bengals last weekend, probably going to lose to the Jets this weekend. Total incompetence by the Chargers. Chiefs defense stepped up in a big way tonight.
Let's load up those phone lines, 913-576-7610. Again, the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line, 69306. Before we get to the calls, this win is enormous. This is an enormous victory. It came down to the wire here. You had the defense, and you could see really both sides of the ball sucking wind. Everyone's tired. You wonder how much okay there was altitude, whether you believe it or not. Everybody's tired at the end of the game here. The defense is able to step up for the Chiefs. The Chiefs had a touchdown lead, and for 4 straight possessions, they could not extend it because of a lack of aggressiveness, I thought, by Andy Reid. You have this Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes connection going. Why is that not continued to be exploited toward the end of this game? You're calling the same screenplay, it looks like, to the running back. Almost cost the Chiefs the game, but again, the defense is able to step up. Frank Clark, his best game as a Chief by far.
No question about it. In his defense, keep in mind, this Chargers defense was good. It comes into this game 5th in the NFL. This defense was good. 6th in the NFL at points per game against. So the Chiefs were going against a good defense, but still no excuse for some of those play calls by Andy Reid, the conservative nature. The offense needed to help the defense in this situation, a defense that was not deep at the defensive ends. Now, Frank Clark, what a game. But again, it was against a rookie making his first start in the NFL. He looked good, but he should have looked good tonight. Let's face it. He makes $100 million going against a guy making his first start that played a Division II school in college starting tonight as a rookie for the Chargers. He should have had a good game.
I truly felt like this was the first time that we got that Seattle Seahawk free agent who you trade for, available player in Frank Clark for the first time all year. I mean, he's had good stretches, and he had a 2-sack game, but this is the first time where he was affecting the game all throughout.
Well, it was set up for him to be effective, and he was. He lived up to it. He should have been effective tonight, and you know what he was. Sometimes guys go into games where they should have the competitive advantage and don't. It doesn't come to fruition. Tonight, it did for Frank Clark. But, man, I tell you what, the defense, you know, is poised to win this game. Phillip Rivers kept having his chances. and it kept charging. The Chargers will charger. Phillip Rivers, again, 9 picks in 3 games against the AFC West. Think about the big picture here. Chargers aren't going anywhere. Even if Phillip Rivers comes back for a year, big deal. This team will find a way to lose. The Chargers should not have 7 losses at this point. The Chiefs just put the final nail in the coffin for the Chargers tonight. They're done. Forget about it. No run for the Chargers. Over. Finalized. You know, they gave up a division game to go play international, which usually doesn't happen. Home games in the division to do an international game. Chargers are lost. Again, they're moving to L.A. They're renting the apartment above their mom's garage in L.A. because nobody wants them there. They have no fan base. And the Denver Broncos have disgruntled people all the way around. Blow that lead against the Vikings. This division's setting up really nicely for the Chiefs. Don't give me the Raiders going to be on a run because they'll still find a way to Raider.
Phillip Rivers has always felt a little erratic as he plays, but there have been games in the past where he would will the Chargers to victory. Like tonight was the first time I really felt Rivers against the Chiefs. You could see where I think he's starting to show his age a little bit here. He doesn't look like he's on the up and up. He looks like he's in a real steep decline here. I don't know if he'll last through the offseason. We'll see if he plays next year. He looks like a guy, it's either this year or next year, and that's probably a career for Phillip Rivers.
They came into this game to run the football. They have been a pass-heavy team this year, only run for 93 yards. You know, Austin Eckler, 8 catches, 108 yards. He comes in as the leading receiver for running back in the NFL by yards and by catches in this game, and they used him effectively. Now, they didn't always use him when they probably should have used him when they got near the goal line. I don't think they should have settled for 3 points in the beginning. That was a drive they should have scored a touchdown. But again, it's incompetence, and you can look for the Chargers to do this. I thought Phillip Rivers was pressing. Thought he was trying to make a play. He was careless with the football at the end. Again, who's in their second season, Pat Mahomes, or who's the established veteran who Booger kept saying is a Hall of Famer? I question that, really, to be honest with you. But Phillip Rivers played like an inexperienced quarterback tonight. Like a rookie.
I thought the Chiefs' defense in the first half, though, everyone will say they had a good game. The first half was not a good game, or not a good effort, I thought, by the Chiefs' defense. They gave up 312 yards. Now, the second half, they only end up giving for the game 438, and that's after giving up more than 300 in the first half. So you could tell that there were some second-half adjustments. And really, the reason they win this football game is because of the second-half effort by the defense. At the same time, Patrick Mahomes having that little stretch there where him and Travis Kelce willed the offense to some points.
Yeah, and I think the new play caller for the Chargers, Shane Steichen, had a bad game. I felt the Chargers could have put up more points in the first half. They were dominating time of possession, dominating yardage, everything else. But you know what? I'll give credit to the Chiefs, though, too. They bent but didn't break. We've only heard this. Bend but don't break. I felt the Chiefs did that. You know, regardless of the Chargers moving the ball up and down the field, when it counted, they made the plays, and I'll give them full credit. They made plays tonight.
Frank Clark, Rashad Fenton, Charvarius Ward, Matthew for that early interception. There are some standouts on the Chiefs defense as well. Let's go out to the phone lines again. If you want to get in touch with us, 913-576-7610. Let's start with our buddy Reggie from Anaheim. What's up, Reg? Reggie, you got us? All right, good enough to call us back. Let's try Chester. Chester, you hear me?
I think we got a problem with our phone lines.
Yeah, I think the phone's not working.
I don't know what's going on here, but not good. We'll get that worked on here in just a second. But, yeah, I'm sure Reggie wanted to go off tonight, I'm pretty sure. But you know what, though? Here's the thing.
Give us a call back. Sorry about that,
Bruce. And I know in the first half you and I were frustrated at times the way the Chargers moving the ball up and down the field. I don't think the play calling was great for the Chargers in that game. But I'll give Spagnuolo the credit for making the adjustments in the second half. The Chargers tried to do it a lot more zone. Patrick Mahomes eats the zone for breakfast when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'm happy that there was never a relenting. I was happy that there was never a relenting of the effort here. I mean, you did have the struggles, I thought, of the defense in the first half, but they were able to respond, and I think that's a lot to be happy about. Let's go out to the phone lines and try again. Reggie from Anaheim, I think we lost you the first time. You there?
Yeah, my bad, man. I don't know what happened.
Oh, there we go, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, good win. I mean, we're supposed to win these types of games, so I'm not, like, super excited. I got to be honest, I thought the defense was going to find a way to choke it at the end, but they held their own water this game. I like the fact that they ran the ball. The Chiefs ran the ball a little bit more this game, you know. They had a lot more concerted effort on the ground, which was good, which I think helped Mahomes out. help to kind of settle them a little bit and help to kind of ground the team a little bit. So good win. Now I live in L.A., so obviously I'm going to hear a lot of crap talking from Raider fans this week. So let's just good win. Let's go into the bye week. Let's get focused. We haven't won anything yet because the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in the AFC, followed by the Patriots.
The Chiefs beat.
So, yeah, but that was a different team. Like, we're going to see them in the playoffs. So we got to get ready for it, bro. Like, we ain't won nothing.
Two of Lamar Jackson's three losses are against the Chiefs.
Yeah, but who's the best team in the AFC right now, though? Right. Like, it's the Baltimore Ravens, baby.
Yeah, I mean,
we beat them earlier, but
I'll give you that.
I have to agree with Reggie. I don't think there's a team right now that's playing better football, maybe in the league right now, than the Baltimore Ravens.
The Chiefs ran for 130 yards, and you know, McCoy 7 carries, 29 yards. He got the 4.1. Pat Mahomes was the difference in the running game tonight. I'm talking those 5 carries, 59 yards, 11.8 per. Pat Mahomes found the seal, and if there's any question about Pat Mahomes' knee, his ankle, you name it, he looked fast out there.
And he
was outrunning defenders.
And he got roughed up on the sideline during that one, and you had a moment there where he did look like he was getting up a little bit gingerly but was able to be fine the rest of the game. I don't think he's perfect. I think there's going to have to be some kind of corrective surgery in the offseason for him, but at the same time, I think you're about 90%-ish, which is good enough for the Chiefs to win. They were able to do that tonight. You saw that willingness for him to run the football, and so I think that was a good sign as well. Chester, let's try it again. Sorry about that first time.
Yes, sir. We 3-0 in the division. Is given to the ones that endure to the end. Frank Clark played his level. Matthew could have had 2 interceptions. Fenton got the interception before Sorensen. Sorensen got the last interception. The total of 4. You know, this defense, I always like to see Mahomes looking at the defense. And I tell everybody, who motivates the motivator? This time he had to sit and see the defense in the game. But he told everybody that when the game is on the line, I will run. And he accumulates some yardage. Attitude in the agitation and agitation in the attitude. Pretty soon it'll be agitation in the winning machine.
Keeps the clothes clean.
Some price games. We got to, you know, take some rest on the bye. And don't you know, I really will shout because one of the games, December the 22nd on my birthday, and they play the Bears. So I'm looking for some wins, especially a win on my birthday.
Well, happy birthday to you, Chester, early, yeah.
Continue to win and keep that agitation, attitude first, and then in the winning machine. God bless you.
Week 16 birthday, Chiefs Bears birthday for our guy Chester.
And here's the thing about it, Pete. They have 5 games left. 3 of them against the division at home.
Yep.
I mentioned Andy Reid is 24-3 against this division since 2015. He absolutely totally owns the AFC West. 9-10 against the Chargers, 9-10 against the Raiders. He's beaten the Broncos 8 straight times. They haven't beaten the Chiefs since Peyton Manning. And again, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Broncos, all at Arrowhead Stadium. And I get it. Chiefs haven't been lights out at Arrowhead Stadium, but still, I'll take those games, 3 divisional games at home. Come on. Andy Reid owns this division. You got 3 of this, you know, of this remaining.
Yeah.
This division is not good. It is not good whatsoever because you have teams that beat themselves. The Broncos find ways to beat themselves and blow 20-point leads. The Chargers find ways to beat themselves. Phillip Rivers, I don't know what the hell is wrong with this guy, but 9 picks in 3 divisional games, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
That is terrible.
You're right, I think, to mention the fact that the games are at home and you'd prefer that they be home than away for sure, but there's no home field advantage right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, it's just a fact at this point.
But you have an AFC West.
You'd rather be home.
Field advantage with the Indy. I don't care where he's playing these teams, on the moon, it doesn't matter.
You'd rather be
home.
He's
beating the AFC West.
It's more of a division game, and I think you like that. It seems like Reed certainly has the divisions page. I just look at the home field right now. How could you say that it even matters at this point? Pat in Maryland, what's on your mind?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, good evening.
Hey, I want to talk about Frank Clark finally showing up. Thank God, because I was definitely, definitely on the verge of calling him a bust of a signing. Big game for him, but he's got to start doing it again.
So you're going to say going against the rookie Division II tackle and you're already set, you're 100% for him now? Well, I'm just saying, let's be real here. It was a Division II tackle making his first NFL start. I mean, you know, let's be honest.
No, I am. I mean, okay. He's got to carry it over.
All right, hey, yeah. You got to back it up.
I'll take it.
right.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Frank Clark, though, too. He's had this type of matchup earlier in the season. I think it was in the Colts game or the Jags game. It was one of the games I'm misremembering right now, but where he was up against a backup, not necessarily Division II making his first start, at the same time up against a backup, and he didn't perform well. He certainly looks like he has more spring in his step. These are matchups you expect him to take full advantage of, and we finally saw that tonight. I still think that's a step in the right direction. It is going to be good to see that against more formidable competition.
But you got to parlay it.
Yes, agreed.
You got to parlay it to the next one. I believe in Frank Clark, and I've always been on this guy's side. I love the signing for the Chiefs. It wasn't panning out, and I was, you know, you have a little bit of dirt in your face because it wasn't the same guy that we saw up at training camp. Up at training camp, the guy was unbelievable. He was talking the talk and walking the walk. I like everything Frank Clark had coming to the Kansas City Chiefs. I just like to see it more. You know what? He stepped up tonight. In the situation, they're playing at 7,500 feet. He didn't have the depth. You know, Okafor is not in there. Ogba, that I think could make an argument, is playing as good a defensive end that anybody with the Chiefs is out. He needed to step up in this game, and he did. Full credit.
Again, Frank Clark, probably his best game as a Chief. On the other side of the football, Patrick Mahomes, 19 of 32 for 182 yards, a touchdown, an interception, also 5 carries for 59 yards on the ground. He spoke to ESPN right after the game.
Thank you very much. Patrick, tell me, what did you think when you saw Dirty Dan Sorensen come down with that interception?
Yeah, I mean, they played lights out really all game long. We put them in a lot of tough positions as an offense, and they pretty much just picked it up and saved us in that game. And, I mean, it's a team game, and it's good to see those guys win a game for us.
How did you think your offense felt to you tonight?
Yeah, we missed on too many things. There were too many missed assignments. Usually we can kind of get away with that and try to fix it, but this, I mean, that's a good defense, and they weren't letting us do it, and so we got to be better. We have a bye week now. Got to go back to it, kind of reevaluate ourselves and try to be better when we come back.
We didn't see you air it out like we thought that we would in this thin air up here. How much was the fact that you didn't have Tyreek Hill for most of the game? How much did that factor in?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely hurts not having Tyreek, but I mean, that's just with me not executing at a high enough level. I mean, there were shots, and there was times I could have went for it, and I didn't hit it whenever it was there, and so I mean, that goes back to me just not being right where I need to be at, and that's why it's a team game, and you got guys on the defense that can help you win a game.
In the third quarter, though, Travis Kelce, you called his number a lot. He came up big for you. How did he open up for you in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, having a guy like that helps out a ton. I mean, whenever I'm struggling and I'm not doing the things that I'm used to doing, I can always fall back on a guy like that to make plays, and I mean, that's what he was doing. I mean, no matter what it was, he was finding a way to get himself open, and credit to him for kind of getting us through that third quarter.
You had a career high 59 rushing yards. How was the knee feel?
Yeah, it feels good right now. I mean, I don't usually try to run, but they were giving some rush lanes with that whenever those guys would get upfield, and I just tried to take advantage of that whenever I could.
All right, thanks, Patrick. Congratulations.
Thanks, Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of ESPN. You hear them mention the fact that Tyreek Hill leaves the game early. Looked like a right hamstring injury. The Chiefs weren't willing to push it. It looked like the field was pretty beat up. I understand that it was better than last year and playable, but there were guys tripping from jump, and so you understand why they wouldn't want to put Tyreek Hill with this faulty hamstring back on the field. He's out for most of the game, but you saw it. You saw at the end of this game, the Chiefs take a touchdown lead, and then they have 4 straight punts to end the game. Like, that has to be better. You have Patrick Mahomes. I understand Hill is not there, but you still should manage to put up some points. And it could have helped out the defense. Luckily for the Chiefs, the defense stepped up. How long have we been waiting for a game where we can point to it and say, this was an obvious W for the defense? I think we got that tonight.
Yeah, and they didn't rely on Chris Jones.
Right.
Chris
exactly.
Jones
That's
ended
another
the game
point,
with
too.
No tackles. They didn't have to rely on him. Everybody else stepped up. But the 4 points, punts at the end, and I'll say this. I'll give Dustin Colquitt credit. Again, we always used to hear that left-footed magic. It's hard to catch. 2 punts fumbled by the Chargers, even though they get them back. But still that Dustin Colquitt weapon. But again, the defense kept giving the Chargers chances. Phillip Rivers still had chance after chance and couldn't get it done. This defense stepped up, made the plays, got the picks, ended up winning the game. But the defense, I felt, had that opportunity to win this game, and they did.
Chiefs win 24-17. They now enter the bye week. These 13 days will be a lot nicer now that you have the victory. This would not have been a fun stretch if the Chiefs lose this game and we're out of the playoff picture all of a sudden. So grateful for that. If you want to get in touch with us, Pete Sweeney, Jay Binkley, and you, 913-576-7610. Let's go to Tanner out in Des Moines. Tanner, what's up?
Hey, hola, Pete. Hola, Bink.
Hola.
Yeah, so I'm having some trouble being happy with tonight's win, primarily because it seems like this is exactly what Andy Reid's Chiefs do, which is let you down like they did last week, only to pick you right back up with a win tonight. But everything is definitely not all right with this team, and there are definitely some issues that showed themselves tonight. So I can't really shake the feeling that there are additional letdowns ahead, whether it be some more losses in the regular season or an early playoff loss. So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on, are we supposed to be optimistic about this win, or should we think that there are some more issues that are potentially ahead?
Should always feel optimistic about a win. And here's the thing, Pete. This team is averaging 7 points a game less than they did last year. Finally, you saw the offensive line intact. You haven't seen this offensive line intact since week two. Nobody can stay healthy at one time.
Right.
Don't you want to see what they do when they have Hill and they have Kelsey?
Damian
Orlovsky did a great job today on ESPN talking about how good they are when those guys are out there. And you don't have them. You just don't have your full complement of weapons. Either Mahomes has been out, or Tyreek Hill's been out, or Damian Williams has been out, the offensive line, and Fisher and Wiley, LDT's been out. Finally, most of the pieces are together, but the most important piece on offense besides Pat Mahomes is clearly Tyreek Hill. This is going to be a big game for him, and I thought the Chiefs wanted to test that. They wanted to test that whole arm of Patrick Mahomes deep with Tyreek Hill and unable to do that. That's a huge loss for this offense, but we haven't seen this. But I'll tell you this much, too. Teams are playing this team differently. They are. And you know what? They started to play this team differently at the end of last year. Remember the Ravens game. Remember the Seahawks game. The Patriots, they played this team differently. They did. The running the ball, the time of possession, which the Chargers dominated in the first half. They had the recipe to win. They were just incompetent and couldn't do it. They had the recipe. They just couldn't put the dinner together to beat the Chiefs. But I will say this. I do feel that teams are playing this team differently from what we've seen. And you know what? We started to see it at the end of last year, and you've seen it more and more this year. It's really the only explanation, that the injuries, of why they're just not lighting up the scoreboard like they have in the past.
Sure, I'll take the win. You see Eric Fisher re-enter the lineup. As you mentioned, he was like a little bit shaky, I thought, but at least now you get that process going of getting him back. If you kind of look at this season as a game, the Chiefs badly needed to get into the locker room, and I think they finally have done that now. And what you do that is you go into the quote-unquote locker room with a 7-4 record, and now you can look yourself in the mirror, get a little bit healthy, come out strong in the second half, see what teams are doing to you, as you're saying, Jay, and maybe come out better for it after the bye week. Let's pause right now quickly for station identification.
Taking the kids to soccer practice Saturday? We're live and local all day long, starting at 10. 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station.
Back in on the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at Pete Sweeney, Jay Binkley, Nick Price. You can get in touch with us, 913-576-7610. Let's go out to Tanner in Indiana. What's up, Tanner?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hi.
Hey, yeah, this fourth quarter issue with the offense, five-minute offense, is just it's becoming terrible. I mean, this is the second game, third and short, we call a screen.
Yep.
We roll the next one on third down, we roll out to the left with our right-handed quarterback for whatever reason. We cannot execute a fourth quarter drive. I mean, to put the game away, it's like same song and dance. I feel like if we were going against Ryan Tannehill this week, we would have lost again. I just think it's just becoming a serious issue.
Yeah, and they really didn't throw the wideouts much tonight. Watkins, 2 catches, 26 yards. Hardman, 2 for 13. It was really Kelsey and McCoy, you know, as far as catching the football. I do think they played a little close to the vest tonight on offense, where they could have gone downfield a few more times. But again, this Chargers defense was good. It was the fifth-ranked defense in the NFL coming in this game. But, you know, I'll take it. A win's a win. It's a divisional win against the Chargers, neutral site. You know, I'll take the win. Are there some areas that need to be fixed for this team? 100% sure, because this offense is nowhere near have the potency of it did last year, and they're living off reputation.
And Travis Kelce only had 1 catch in the first half. It took him to the second half to get going. I do worry a little bit. If there's a worry that I have right now, it is that ugly head that Andy Reid sometimes shows, where he gets a lead and just gets a little passive And it's like, dude, I understand. You're one of the most creative minds in National Football League history. You're going to the Hall of Fame. But you have the MVP. You have Sammy Watkins. You have Travis Kelce. Go win a damn football game as opposed to just saying, okay, let's bleed this clock out. You have Patrick Mahomes. They don't have Patrick Mahomes. Remember that.
And I also think that they're really missing that dog at running back.
Oh, no doubt.
They really are.
Have
the inconsistency of Damian Williams, the inconsistencies of LeSean McCoy with the fumbling problems. He looked good. He cut on a dime. He looked good. That was vintage LeSean McCoy, but it's too erratic. It's too sporadic of when he does it. They miss that Kareem Hunt style of running back in the backfield. Consistency at that position where they know where they're going to be at all the time. Pat knows where he's going to be at. The running of the ball, the catching of the ball out of the backfield, they miss that dog. And again, Darrell Williams, 35 yards. LeSean McCoy, 29. Darrell Williams, 7. Pat Mahomes, 59 yards. Don't be blown away with the 130 yards rushing. Most of that comes from Pat Mahomes.
And all these running backs, what ends up happening is they all have their moments, right? So Damian Williams gets going, but then he injures his rib. You know from training camp, he's not going to even think about playing through any kind of injury, so he's done for the game. LeSean McCoy can't hold on to the football. You don't even know what you have in Darrell Williams. Darwin Thompson can't see the field. That is a huge gaping hole for the Chiefs, and you're right about it. I mean, you've brought it up before, and I would sometimes say, oh, running backs are a dime a dozen. You could draft one late. You figure it out. But the Chiefs do really miss Kareem Hunt on the field. I think their hands were tied in that situation. We don't need to get into that. But as far as just strictly on the field play, there's no doubt that they miss Kareem Hunt.
No question about it. Andy Reid will run the ball. Kareem Hunt did lead the NFL in rushing under Andy Reid.
Let's go back out to the phone lines. Talk to our pal Dan in KCK. What's up, Dan?
Hi, Pete. Hi, Pete. What a game by the defense with the sort of with the game-winning interception. How about Tyrann Mathieu? I agree with you, Bink. How about Frank Clark finally showing up and earning his money? And I agree with you, Bink, on LeSean McCoy. He was fortunate to get that fumble back, but yeah, remember, he chucked the ball and ricocheted right back.
It went right back into his hands. It was crazy.
It was crazy, Bink. Yeah, yeah. Like I said a few weeks ago, he's got to learn the better because they know they're going to strip him, so... Yeah, otherwise, a great team win. I agree with you. I think the Chargers are done. And the Raiders, they don't have an easy game either. The Jets are playing pretty good, so I'll be watching that. Take care of yourself, guys.
All right, thank you for the call, Dan. By the way, Bink, right now, Travis Kelce, we talked about 7 catches for 92 yards. Here was Travis Kelce with ESPN after the game.
Back here in Mexico City, a must-win for the Chiefs. Big game by Travis Kelce. Here with Steve and Lewis also. So you told us yesterday, if you guys win out, you're 12-4, same record as last year, but you need to sharpen the focus. How did you do that leading into the game tonight?
Man, still way too many penalties. We kept hurting ourselves there in the first half. Drop passes, just the little things that we got to keep cleaning up, keep building the beast, and taking it one game at a time, taking it one week at a time, and sure enough, hopefully we'll see ourselves where we imagine at the end of the year.
Look, Trav, obviously the offense has really driven the bus here for this football team recently. As a leader, how are you supporting the defense? Because they come up big tonight. Oh, yeah. I mean, Frank comes up huge. Big, Tyrann comes up big. How are you on the offensive side supporting the defensive side?
Oh, we just bring the energy. We bring the energy, whether they get scored on or whether they get off the field on third downs. We keep bringing the energy. We keep and stay on the attack for them. And just go out there and make plays, man. Our defense is taking quite a rap, but at the same time, you know, we know we're very confident in what they can do and what Spags has got them lined up doing.
My JV coach at college, Andy Reid. I got my own opinions about him. They're really fun stories. But how do you define? He seems to be always keeping the ship, no matter what happens. Injuries, bad losses, tough times. He seems to keep things moving. How would you describe your coach?
He's the best at it, man. He's the best to ever do it. I swear. And what he does best is he challenges the team every single week, win or lose, to get better. And that's what you want out of a head coach, somebody that gets you fired up, that team meeting or walking in on Monday or Tuesday. And you know what? Coach Reid does it better than anybody.
Hey, Travis, you know, everybody sees what Patrick Mahomes can do on the field, but what's something behind the scenes that you know that we don't know?
Is his special notebook, man. This guy's got notes on notes on notes, the secret stuff, man. I don't know what he's got in that thing, but it works for him. And I asked him one day what all had in there, and he said, just little stuff I can think about on the side. Well, you're thinking in the right direction there, man, because Pat Mahomes is the best football player out here.
Yeah, one of the things he said yesterday when we talked to him was he said he can kind of weed out some of the noise now, and even though people are trying to confuse him, he says he sees it clearly now, he can get you guys in the right place.
Oh, yeah, and you could tell in practice he knows exactly where he wants to go with the ball. And even out here in the games, man, as soon as you turn your head, that ball is right on you.
Yeah.
And that's what you want as a route runner, as a receiver, is that ball on time where you can catch it and do some work with it. And Pat, he's unbelievable at getting the ball in a playmaker's hands.
Hey, congratulations on the win.
Thank you. And shout out to Mexico.
Enjoy the bye week, Chiefs. First place, AFC West.
Tight end Travis Kelce with ESPN, courtesy of ESPN. Sounds like Travis Kelce somehow instantly drunk after the game already. It sounds like he's very tipsy.
He said, well, let's not forget about this, too.
Happy-go-lucky.
Well, the four picks by Rivers, let's not forget about the one, the Honey Badger, right in his hands. That ended up being 8 points for the Chargers. They scored a touchdown, two-point conversion.
The Keenan Allen was a touchdown after that, yes.
Yeah, it could have been five interceptions for Phillip Rivers tonight. Five of them for him. He would have been 10 against the AFC West had he not dropped that football. But again, I'm with you. You know, Andy Reid's got to find a way. And here's the deal. Raiders, good luck to you, man, because Chiefs have a bye week, and Andy Reid coming off a bye week, well, and it's a divisional opponent. Andy Reid's 24-3 since 15. Good luck, Raiders, in that game.
Well, here's the thing, and I think Kelce hit on some of the key points that I'm thinking about early on in this interview. The Chiefs are sloppy right now. I mean, you're playing sloppy football. You really need this bye to rest up.
17 penalties now in the last 2 weeks.
To rest up, get right, look at the film, see what you can clean up, come back for Raider Week, which is now, surprisingly enough, something we didn't think preseason, the biggest football game of the year, and come back to the well-oiled machine that we saw last year before it sort of unraveled toward the end of the season, and you end up having that dud against the New England Patriots in the first half of the AFC title game ultimately costing you. Come back ready for this final stretch and what is hopefully a playoff run, or to me, and still to me, a bust of a season. You need to come back ready to win the Super Bowl. I think this bye week comes at a great time. It has been sloppy lately, but guess what? You're still 7-4. You still have the rest of the season in front of you.
I wish they would have kept the foot on the gas when they're up 24-9. You know, a few more points there.
Sure.
Take Mahomes out of that game. That field was trash.
It was so bad.
It was bad. And you know what? Had he got Roger Goodell was there. You know, had the NFL's best player in Patrick Mahomes got hurt on that turf. They were replacing divots like at a golf course at halftime. That's how bad that field was. That was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
If they want to keep pushing this game to Mexico City, because last year they couldn't even have a game there, fix the damn field.
One of the items that came from this game, and I'm looking at some of the tweets as they come through from Mexico City, Tyreek Hill did indeed strain his hamstring. You know, with that field, they were not taking a chance with Tyreek Hill.
No, absolutely not. That's why I didn't go out there and play anymore. But again, the bye week comes at a good time. You know, get McCoy healthy, get Tyreek Hill healthy, and try to get this full complement of weapons this team has on the field again. The bye week comes at a good time. Comes off a win, you know, for the Chiefs, divisional win. They get the bye week. Andy Reid's good off the bye week. Take a deep breath, resurface, and hope this defense doesn't have a relapse, because they were playing well against Denver. Although the Packers came back in the final 5 minutes, still a better game, except for the end, in the game against the Vikings. I don't know what happened in the Titans game. They reverted back to old Chiefs defense. It wasn't very good. Tonight was different. So that's really four out of the last five games. This is a serviceable defense, in my opinion.
It's Pete Sweeney, Jay Binkley, and you, the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. Go out to the phone lines, 913-576-7610. Lanita and KC Mo, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. I'm doing great.
That's great.
I'm going to make it really quick because I know you have a lot of people. But I'd just like to ask you guys' opinion, what would have happened differently with the way the play ended if they had caught when Tyrann Mathews mm-hmm. intercepted that ball. The clock rolled down to double zeros, and then he threw the ball. If they had called that play, that the double zeros came up before he got the playoff, how would it have changed the game and that interception?
Good call there. Now, I don't want to play the what-if game on that situation at the end of the game. I thought if you're going the direction of what would a different quarterback have done, a competent quarterback, the problem is there's not many in the NFL. And Phillip Rivers, you know, comes into the game with, 10 interceptions, leaves with four. He's, second in the NFL now to Jameis Winston as far as interceptions, as he passes Baker Mayfield in the rearview mirror for interceptions.
Yeah.
But again, it was incompetency from that team at the end of the game. Totally incompetent.
I think the question was like, it seemed all night to me from watching the telecast, there was a little bit of a disconnect between the play clock and what they were calling. I don't know how it was set up in Mexico City where that maybe the ESPN clock might have been a little off
or something.
It looked
like the Chargers. Run out of time three or four times.
You take an interception off the board, it changes the entire game. And so who knows how it really goes and transpires after that. There's a number of plays, I think, like that in the game. If Tyrann Mathieu actually catches that interception, maybe the Chargers don't end up scoring a touchdown and maybe it's not as close as it was. Again, the Chiefs defense did step up late in the fourth quarter, and this is when, you know, you talk about the altitude and Los Angeles going and playing in Colorado and being ready for the altitude. Well, the Chiefs should have been really gassed at the end of the game. They weren't. They had enough left in the tank to make sure that they stopped the Los Angeles Chargers from tying this football game. It's why the Chiefs ultimately win 24-17, improved to 7-4 heading into the bye week. He's Jay Binkley. I'm Pete Sweeney. You right now are listening to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. We'll be right back.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. Pete Sweeney hanging out with Jay Binkley. The Chiefs win 24-17 in Mexico City. They improved to 7-4 in the season, headed into the bye week.
Once the score was 24-17, the Chargers, a chance, four plays, punt. Next possession, three plays, punt. Next possession, three plays, interception. Next possession, 11 plays, interception. So four different chances to get back into the game, and the defense responded in each and every one of them. That was really the story of this game because the offense just didn't put up the points there at the end. And again, I think there's been a lot of pressure on this offense. But to say it's the same, you can't, because it's not the same.
It's disappointing. They couldn't.
And Tyreek Hill, I think, was a big difference when he went out. Huge difference.
They could not extend the lead in the fourth quarter and give the defense even a little bit of breathing room. Lucky enough for the Chiefs, the defense steps up. I think it's the first time we could say that in a long time where definitively the defense won that football game.
Absolutely.
For the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's go to Andy Reid in his post-game press conference after the big win.
Hill strained his hamstring early in the game. Damian Williams hurt his ribs. They're looking at those as we go here. Jordan Lucas hurt his shoulder. So Ryder came out but went back in, Reader. And then LaShawn, I'm not sure exactly all what happened there, but something with his head. So I'm not sure exactly what the final decision was there. I was real proud of our defense for the job that they did today. I think Frank Clark probably jumps out at you for the job that he did. He had a heck of a game. Four takeaways. The guys that intercepted the football and then helped create the turnovers. I'm proud of those guys for the job they did there. We were able to get 7 points out of that. Probably had another chance for another turnover right there with the Badger. He had one in his hands that he's kind of kicking himself for, but he did a nice job with the one that he did catch. Pat had 60 yards rushing. Pretty impressive for a guy with a couple banged up legs there. So he pushed himself through and had some big yards doing that. Kelsey came up with the 7 receptions for 90-plus yards and puts him in some elite category there amongst tight ends in the history of the game. So, and then I thought special teams really did a nice job. I was proud of those guys. Dustin for the way he punted and you know, maintaining the field position with the coverage teams. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
You're listening to Andy Reid, courtesy of Spectrum Sports and 610 Sports Radio.
I'll tell you what, we love the hospitality that we received. Phenomenal people. It was a great experience. I think the players would tell you the same thing, but I think the steps that stands out to me are the people. I mean, they're just tremendous and so welcoming. You know, I told the team, "Viva la Mexico, man! I'm in." Huh? We enjoyed the win, but and about not playing here last year, we were sorry that that happened. But heck, we're glad we came this time. And like I said, the hospitality that you gave us was over the top. Great.
Coach, you have five more games left. Do you think the next one against the Oakland Raiders is going to be the most important in the rest of the season after the bye week? And did the altitude of Mexico City affect your players any?
The Raiders, that's always good competition right there. So we'll have to prepare ourselves. We're going to take some time off, though, with the bye week, and then we'll come back and get ready for them for the first part of your question. The way the Mexico City, the altitude, it's up here now. I mean, we're high, so there's not a lot of oxygen, but it's good oxygen, the one that we had. So we were able to make the best of it. We used every bit of it, I think, towards the end there.
Andy Reid, courtesy of Spectrum Sports. Let's finish up with the Chiefs head coach on 610 Sports Radio.
Coach, there wasn't a factor in the half of the defense for you to decide to run a little bit more.
Yeah, but I didn't run much in the first half. So I thought it was a good thing to crank it up a little bit. And then down the stretch, we were in four-minute mode there. And we've got to make sure we closed out the game. I was proud of our defense, though, for closing the game out the way they did. And then Dan with the big interception at the end. It was a huge play. So. Yeah, listen, he's been, I think he's feeling better, physically feeling better. And he's been kind of battling through the injury. And I think starting kind of midweek, I mean, he was going, "Man, this, I'm feeling better here." And I think that sure paid off.
Coach, what can you do to achieve consistency defensively?
Yeah, so, we've been kind of on the rise, and then last week, not so good. And then we're back. So we're back in. Last week, we gave up too many big plays. So this week, we came back and made a lot of big plays, and we hung in there and kept battling. So when things were kind of tough there, and they were moving the ball a little bit, we battled. And then we did a great job in the red zone. I think they were 1-for-3 in the red zone. We ended up being 2-for-2, and that's a big stat in football.
Andy, all four interceptions were pretty meaningful, but...
Excuse me.
But how much did you think Tyron's kind of sort of flipped the script a little bit on how the game...
Yeah, no, that was a big one. And then he had a chance for another one, right, Bahe? So, but I thought he played a good game. He came all the way across from the backside on that to make that play, and then had a great run after that. You saw some of his punt return, Bill. When he was a young pup, he was a punt returner, so you saw a little bit of that go in play.
To less than 100 yards rushing after the last couple of weeks, allowing a pretty big chunk of yards running. This time, you were able to hold the Chargers to less than 100 yards rushing. What was the key this time around?
Yeah, again, I thought our linebackers played well. I thought our interior linemen, the guys that don't get quite as much publicity as those outside guys, I thought they played well and did a great job of gap controls and so on. Yeah. Anybody want to talk to Pat Mahomes?
Yeah,
I can say it. All right.
That's Chiefs head coach Andy Reid after the Chiefs 24-17 win over the LA Chargers in Mexico City. And Jay, would you look what the cat drug in? Is it drug?
Good
in?
Oxygen. Is it drag good in oxygen. Drug in?
It's Carrington Harrison of the Drive hanging out right here after the Chiefs winning on Monday Night Football. What was your instant reaction to this win?
I'm happy to come on with you guys. You guys always come on with me, so at least I can do is come on with you guys, especially if I'm sitting up here. I think the instant reaction has to be is I think that people are very hard on the defense, and I understand why they're hard on the defense. The defense won them the game today. Mahomes didn't win them the game. Reed didn't win them the game. Tyreek didn't win it. Kelsey didn't win it. The high-flying offense that you – the defense won this game. Now, you maybe say that Rivers gave them the game today, but you got to go out there and make plays, and you got to convert. Multiple times in this game, the defense asked the offense to score points, and that would have ended the game. The Chiefs had the ball on three straight possessions at the end of the game, and they didn't get points. If they get points on any of those drives, this is a completely different scenario. They didn't. And the defense on back-to-back times turned Phillip Rivers over and went out and won the football game. Early in the game in the red zone, they were getting stops and getting off the field and not letting them score points. The defense won this football game. And again, the defense takes a lot of arrows, and I understand why they do. But we got to be fair in our criticism and even measured in it. And when the offense isn't doing their part, we got to be critical on the offense. Today was way more about what the offense didn't do as opposed to the defense. And it's typically the other way around.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers had four opportunities there at the end with the 24-17 to come down and win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Is he done? I know that you're talking about Phillip
Rivers.
But look at this division. See, that 24-3 now, Andy Reid. Three of the next five against divisional opponents. This division is screwed right now because of Mahomes and the Chiefs. They can't win the AFC West. And you know what? The Raiders dropped two interceptions. Phillip should have had five in that game. Tony Badger dropped one, could have had five in this game. He's got nine picks now in three games against this division. Is he done?
If I were the Los Angeles Chargers, I would have another quarterback on my roster that's ready. It's over for Phillip Rivers. Age normally comes way faster than people anticipate, and Rivers was good last year. Rivers is probably the top eight quarterback in the league. He has, 14 interceptions in 11 games this season?
Second most.
He's bad. Like, he is the biggest reason they lost their last two games. He was the biggest reason they lost tonight. He was the biggest reason that they lost against the Oakland Raiders. They will not make the playoffs this year because of their quarterback position. That I understand what Rivers has done, and I think he's going to Canton at some point. The biggest problem with the Los Angeles Chargers is their quarterback, and his arm isn't strong enough to make up for the poor decisions. He's always thrown interceptions, but he's always had an elite-level arm and great arm talent that could cover up for it. He can't cover up for his bad mistakes anymore. It's over for Rivers. It's done. He's done.
When he was younger, what was really good is he had that short memory where he would just get back out there and he was still talented enough where it was actually a good thing. Now he's got the same kind of attitude, but he throws pick after pick after pick. Finishes today 28 of 52 for 353, one touchdown and four interceptions. C-Dot, while we got you, I want to ask you about Frank Clark. What did you make of Clark's game tonight?
I thought Clark was dominant. This is the Frank Clark that you paid for. This is the best game we've seen Frank Clark play. Maybe you'll argue the Denver game, but Denver's just, what does that matter? They're the Broncos. Maybe you want to argue the Baltimore Ravens, but I thought he stood out way more today. He set up shop in the backfield
today.
But
you know what he had to, though? He's going against the Division II tackle making his first start.
Yeah,
he had to show up. No, he makes $100 million going against a Division II tackle.
No, you're right.
They played at Sioux Falls last year.
You're right, but I also don't want to say is whenever he doesn't play well against the Jaguars in week one when they were playing their third string
left
tackle.
I get it. He should have stood up.
And then say he should have played well, and then when he plays well, and then say, well, he was going up against
the player. No, I'm glad he did, but he needed to step up tonight.
I agree. And typically, D4 dominated the Los Angeles Chargers. Like, they always took advantage of that mismatch. But we've asked for the real Frank Clark to show up and not just do the talking, but do the playing on the field. Frank Clark was probably the best player on the field today.
They had to have no depth at defensive end. They had to have that performance from Frank Clark, and he gave it to him.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably the best player on the field today.
Yeah,
and it's crazy. Like, they have the best player in the NFL on the team, Mahomes. Frank Clark was the best player for the Chiefs today.
I think what you're seeing, too, and this was big in this game, was some of those role players like Charvarius Ward, like Rashad Fenton, who is this rookie. You could see that in this game, Keenan Allen was clowning him a little bit during it, and then he steps up at the end, is throwing him to the ground. And I got to say, I mean, we give Brett Veach crap, and I think it is deserved most of the time. But some of these fringe players that he picks up in late rounds that seem like contributors, Charvarius Ward he got for Parker Anger. Remember Parker Anger?
Yep.
Now this is a player you're probably going to sign and bring back.
Yeah, if I'm Charvarius Ward, I don't know if he has holdout leverage, but I'm trying to get paid at the end of the season. Like, you can get a new contract when you're an undrafted player at the end of your second year as opposed to your third year if you're drafted. He's going to make $600,000 next year. Like, he's a guy that you could give him a small raise next year. You could sign him to a two-year, $8 million deal where, you know, it doesn't seem like big money in the sense of it, but when you haven't made that big-time money yet, man, $8 million and guarantee $6 million of it, it's a life-changing contract to sign. They absolutely need to sign him to a new deal.
What are you seeing from this offense, though? Because we haven't really seen it, you know, all beat together. You know, this is the first time the offensive line was together since week two.
It's never going to be all together, though.
Like, and then Hill and then Mahomes. What are you seeing, though? Because I think teams are playing this team differently.
Yeah.
I think towards the end of last year, teams started playing the Chiefs differently. And we've seen all that this year. It's up for Andy Reid to kind of make those adjustments. You know, it's like a hitter in Major League Baseball. Once they start adjusting to you, you have to adjust back. And to me, teams are kind of got the book on this offense a little bit.
Yeah, we say that, though, but this offense or this team, we've seen 11 weeks of data to suggest, and we've seen enough football to know this offense is never going to be 100%. Today was the most healthy that they've been the entire season. And then Tyreek, like, it's just football at this point. Like, it just seems to be one of those kind of years. This team can only work if their offense is elite. And right now, their offense isn't elite. At least it wasn't today. We could go back and say they were good against this team, but it's been far too inconsistent. And this team, I would say, hasn't been as dynamic and explosive offensively probably since the second quarter against the Oakland Raiders. That's probably the last time that you thought you were watching the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs offense.
Last and they had a 72-yarder canceled in the third quarter because of a penalty.
Last year's Chiefs team would have hung 40 today on the Chargers. Would have hung a quiet 40 today against the Chargers. I mean, they got gift wrapped one of those touchdowns. I know the scoreboard says they scored 27. The Chiefs offense scored 17 today, and the defense and the defense left the first touchdown for you on the doorstep. Their offense is not elite. I'm not saying their offense is bad, but this team is only going to the Super Bowl if their offense is elite, and it's not right now.
They missing a dog at running back? Because I've been saying that for weeks. The consistency at that position.
Yeah, I think they missed that. I also think whenever Hill isn't there, I don't know if they have another dynamic, consistent playmaker that's not named Travis Kelce. Like, Kelce, quiet enough, had a good game, wasn't a great, the numbers was there. Like,
Hill demands attention.
Yeah, and like, did Sammy Watkins play today?
Two catches.
Did Sammy Watkins play?
It hardly been two catches. I mean, the wide receivers did not step up today. Just Kelce and then McCoy with those four catches. But the wide receivers really didn't. You saw Mahomes wanting to throw it deep there early when Hill was still healthy. But they kind of went away from that a little bit.
It felt very similar to what the Lions did against the
Chiefs.
They
got conservative.
Yeah, well, once Hill got out. And that last drive where the Chiefs, I think it was 4 minutes left. I don't have the stats right in front of me. You got to get a first down in that scenario and move the chains. Like, if you're an elite-level offense like I think the Chiefs are, man, every elite-level offense in the NFL finds a way to at least – I'm not saying you got to get points. You got to get a first drive. You got to get – like, similar to what the Packers did against the Chiefs on that Sunday night game when the Chiefs punted the ball back, the Chiefs haven't put one of those drives together in probably a month and a half.
Which is usually Reed's time to shine.
The burden is on you to go out and win the football game. And the defense waited for the offense to win the game today, and the offense didn't do it. They won. So, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a different outlook today. But there is a problem with this offense, and they're not as dynamic or explosive as they
used to be. But isn't this one of the first times we've seen the defense step up for Mahomes?
100%. 100%.
Because in college, they didn't. In just high school, they didn't. But we finally saw the defense step up for Pat Mahomes and not ask him to carry the whole team like before. That was the real refreshing thing tonight, is how the defense stepped up even though 15 was on the field.
Yeah, I'm talking maybe more in a big picture sense of I do think we've seen this offense for a good enough sample to question if they're the same as they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, they're not.
They're not. Saying is this team, at least how it's constructed and possibly going on the road for back-to-back playoff games, you got to be one of the five best units in the NFL. Like, that's kind of how this team is built. This team is built that you're going to score fast, you're going to score quick, and you're going to score a lot. And I don't know if they're that offense anymore.
Four straight punts for the Chiefs offense to end the game. They still win. In large parts of the defense, 24-17. C-Dot, I do want to get to the Patrick Mahomes sound. Final thing for you. You have the drive coming up tomorrow. What can people expect?
Conversation about this. The Patrick Mahomes sound. Did he talk about how he's the best running back on this team? Did he talk about that?
We're about to find out.
I don't know if he talked about that or not, because he was the best running option they had today was calling a passing play and then letting Mahomes scramble.
Aren't you going to have a funeral tomorrow?
Phillip Rivers. We got to have a funeral for Phillip Rivers.
There you are, yeah.
He's done. He's done. I don't know what time it's going to be. Like, you're catching me at the, I haven't decided
it's
what time
it's going to be. The world famous drive funeral.
But I'm telling you, we might have people call in from everywhere. We got to have a funeral for Phillip Rivers. Because I'm telling you, I saw it with my own eyes. He is done. Stink, stank, stunk, Phillip Rivers was today.
That is the voice of Carrington Harrison. You could catch the Phillip Rivers funeral sometime between 2 and 6
sometime,
tomorrow.
I don't know when, but sometime.
So you're going to have to tune in for the whole thing on the drive tomorrow. Right now, let's go to Patrick Mahomes in his post game. after the Chiefs' 24-17 win.
Have to all those people who were cheering for you tonight at the game?
Yeah, it was amazing, honestly. The stadium, I mean, first when you get to walk out that tunnel and see the stadium, how big, and you can just tell the history in it. We watched videos before we came here of just the amazing games that and stuff that had been played in the stadium before, and so to be a part of that is awesome, something I'll be able to tell my kids hopefully later in life. And then the fans were amazing. I mean, they really were. They were cheering the whole game. It was loud. It was a great atmosphere.
Patrick, quick question about, obviously, you led the team in rushing tonight. I know that's something that Coach Reed would not like to have happen in the near future. But that being said, were you wanting to prove a point about you being back healthy and stuff? I know you said that this is the healthiest you felt since the beginning of the season.
No, I wasn't. I was trying to just make plays happen. We struggled in the pass game as far as doing what we would like to do. And so they have great pass rushers. And so whenever they got just too far upfield, I try to take advantage and get first downs. And so I think the biggest thing was there was the one big run where it was a kind of a RPO, and I tried to throw it, and they caught me with going into a cover two. And so I ended up running where the running back should have ran. And then the one late in the game when they were rushing upfield, and I just kind of slipped out and found a way to get a first down.
Did you kind of tweak your knee there on one of those scrambles in the second half?
No, I didn't tweak my knee. I got hit in my knee for the first time. And so I think it was kind of out of the – I was like kind of sitting there like, man, it's the first time I'm taking a shot there. So I kind of just felt it. It felt fine, and I kind of just got back up and kept going.
What did you see from the defense throughout the week at practice that made you not really surprised they came out and played the way they did tonight?
I think what Coach Reed said is the most important thing. I mean, they've been playing like that the last few weeks here. Even in the Titans game, if you'd have watched the first half, they were playing at that same standard. I mean, the second half got away. They gave up some big plays, but this defense has been getting better and better the whole season long. And today was a big statement with how the offense played. They really stepped up and won the game for us.
Patrick, what are you saying to your guys at the end of the game, letting them know that this is a game that you need to close out?
Yeah, I mean, we kept that confidence all game long. I think that was the biggest thing as a team, offensive, defense, and special team, is we knew that someone was going to make a play to win the game. And if we just believed in each other, then we were going to win the game. And so that's a great football team, and we found a way to get a win and find a way to win against a division opponent.
Patrick, what would you say?
Last year, you did not get the chance to come here to play to Mexico. Now that you did, would you recommend Mexico and the field, not only the stadium, but the field itself?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great experience. I mean, being here and being at the stadium and seeing these fans and everything like that. I mean, last year we wanted to be here and we didn't get the opportunity to, but we know they put a lot of preparation and time into that field to get us here and give us the chance to go out there and play a great football game.
Patrick, what was the difference between the first half and second half offensively? It seemed like you guys were really out of kilter the first 3-4 series.
I think the biggest thing as offense the first half is me being a little too over-aggressive. There was times where you saw in the second half, I kind of just took the checkdowns and hit the running backs out of the backfield when I had those early in the game. And so just kind of going back and reevaluating myself during the game, during halftime, and realizing that if they're going to get depth and they're going to kind of take away our shots, that if we're going to have to just kind of take what's there, and then whenever we get the opportunities like we had with Kelsey in the red zone there, you take advantage of those.
Patrick, how did you feel the altitude of Mexico City, and if you still believe you can throw a 100-yard passing here?
I definitely feel like I could throw it pretty far. I don't know about 100, but I definitely felt like I could throw it pretty far. For me, I didn't feel the altitude too much. I mean, I think for me, the biggest thing was I scrambled more than I usually do, so I was pretty tired then anyways. And so we're definitely high up there. I saw guys that were getting a little tired there, but they fought through it and found a way to get a win.
All right, thank you, Patrick. Thank you.
Patrick. The Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes in Mexico City after the big win. Of course, the rushing leader for this team in this game. The Chiefs improved to 7-4 heading into the bye. When we come back, more of your phone calls and the AP sounds of the game. This is the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Well, Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. The Chiefs come away with the 24-17 victory heading into the bye week. Something to be happy about, Jay. I mean, 12-4 still possible. Five games to go. A big game with the Oakland Raiders coming up December.
No question about it. No question about it. It's so big to have this bye week and Andy Reid coming off the bye week. I hope this defense looks in the mirror. You know, they're all tweeting about it. Reggie Ragland's haters going to hate. F blank, blank, blank them. Tyrann Mathieu, everybody going to hate. I'll die great. I mean, they care way too much. And Frank Clark talking about, you know, this is what everybody wanted to see. Stop worrying about what everybody's saying and just play for yourself. Seriously, who cares what everybody's saying? Let the haters hate. You haven't been great this year at times. You haven't been good. You stepped up tonight in a big way. Don't worry about what people say. Just go play football.
Yeah.
Way too much about what people say.
There's certainly been some chirping with just the defense and how, you know, I think people expected them to just be, I think, a little bit more solid. You could see after this good performance, they're kind of rubbing it back in people's face. I don't have a problem with that. You know what? They had a great night. If they want to go and tweet something, whatever. I mean,
as long as they keep the attitude keep on the field, if you do whatever you want.
Yeah, if you want to have this world beater attitude, by all means, if you're drawing some motivation from it, I think that's something that a lot of Chiefs fans would accept.
Just show that aggression on the field.
Right now, Jay, though, time for AP Sounds of the Game.
Third down and 8. Rivers steps up into the pocket, and that ball is intercepted. Utilizing blockers in front and inside the 10. It'll be first and goal, Chiefs. LeSean McCoy is in the offset eye with Patrick Mahomes, first and goal. Here's McCoy. And he's in. 6-yard touchdown. Darrell Williams, the running back behind Mahomes, offset eye with Anthony Sherman. And he'll get the call here. Williams probing and then finding that goal line. Mahomes to the end zone. Did he get it in? Yes! Kelce, touchdown! Third down and 10. Trying to stay on the field. Give him a chance. Looking for more than 10. And it's intercepted. That is Fenton. Rashad Fenton, the rookie, with the pickoff of Rivers. 24 seconds to go. Trying to tie the game. There's Frank Clark. Let's see what he does coming off the edge. Tries that under move. Rivers steps up to the end zone. Oh, no! Intercepted by Sorensen. Fourth interception thrown by Rivers. And Chiefs Kingdom can celebrate.
Yes, indeed. Chiefs Kingdom can celebrate those sounds courtesy of ESPN. The AP Sounds of the Game brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. The Chiefs win 24-17. Some good feelings heading into the bye week.
No question about it. The way the defense stepped up tonight, and they should feel proud about themselves. And I know that they want to prove everybody wrong. Frank Clark talking after the game about proving to everybody they still have it. Again, it doesn't matter, Frank. Just go do your job.
You want him to quiet down?
No, I don't care. Seriously, I mean, you know, don't read the clippings. I guess do it if it's motivating you. But just go play football. You stepped up for Mahomes, and they should step up for Mahomes because they really haven't stepped up for Mahomes. They stepped up for Matt Moore a few times. They hadn't stepped up for Mahomes. So you know what? They did what they should do. The Chiefs spent a lot of money on the overhaul, bringing in Frank Clark, the Honey Badger, Steve Spagnuolo. Brand new coaching staff on the defensive side, giving Kentucky a bunch of money to bring Matt House over. They spent a lot of money there. The owner has a directive. Win the Super Bowl. It's not a success. Go play football.
Now, speaking of Matt Moore, man, that win against the Vikings becomes bigger and bigger by the day. The Chiefs are still in good position to win the division. Who knows what can happen now if they can continue to win football games.
They're good enough to wax opponents. if the offense can get back up to like what it was last year, if the defense can play like this through the stretch and show up and stop quarterbacks, again, three of the next five against this division, they should be able to just put some teams away. That's where Andy Reid needs to get that killer instinct, put teams away. If this defense performs like it did here, give people rest. When it's 24-9, you go put two more touchdowns on the board, maybe have Pat Mahomes take a breath in that good oxygen, as Andy Reid calls it, and let Matt Moore go out there and play a little bit.
Yeah, it would have been nice to get Mahomes a quarter off. I would agree. It just didn't work out tonight.
Especially on that field.
I think the Chiefs, now they get 13 days off, this will do them a lot of good. They'll get a week away from football. You come back refreshed, hopefully way healthier, and I think that's the way you maybe get back to last year's offense is by being a lot healthier. Let's get to the phone line, 913-576-7610. We have two callers who have been waiting for a while. Alex, what's going on?
Yeah, I had two things tonight. I just wanted to say that I really appreciated the defense stepping up tonight, giving the offense a couple opportunities to make some plays. I had a question. How much do you think the offense's inability to convert those third downs had to do with the running backs, or do you think the play calling had something to do with it? Thank you.
I don't know if Andy Reid completely trusts the running game. A lot of times they go to the screens because they don't trust the running backs to get the yards that they need. Because, again, the yards per carry for this team isn't great. Mahomes, again, you're going to look at the stat sheet and say, oh, they ran for 130 yards in this game. Well, Mahomes had 60 of those. You know, on some scrambles. I don't think he completely trusts the running game. And that's the thing. That's where they're missing that horse, that dog,
right,
to pick up that first down, get 5 yards of carry, 6 yards of carry, whatever it is, just have those breakaway runs. Just like Damien Williams had that nice long run. Again, that's the only thing he did that entire game was that one run, but at least he got it. But just some consistency at the running back position. I don't think Andy Reid fully trusts the running game, and that's why you see a lot of the screen plays and everything else, because they don't have that guy.
He's a pass-first head coach, right? And so the only time that he starts to emphasize the run is when he has an elite back. We saw him at times do it with Jamal Charles. We saw him at times do it with Kareem Hunt, enough for him to win the rushing title. These guys aren't even close to that level of running back. So you'd rather, I think, throw it with Patrick Mahomes. I would like to see a little bit more balance, but I don't think you want to see more than what would be 60-40, especially given you have Mahomes and these talented receivers.
No, but they ran the ball 27 times. I mean, that's a start. 27 times.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, for this offense, it's a great start. Not only that, Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 32 times. They ran the ball 27 times. It's a difference of five. It's the closest.
It's great.
It's kind of the closest difference we've seen between the run and the pass. However, they didn't put the points on the board that they normally do. But again, when you're not throwing to the wide receivers, you're not throwing to the playmakers,
right,
to go out there and make plays. And Hardman just two catches and Sammy Watkins just two catches. Not having Tyreek Hill on that field, you know, guys that could take 5 or 6 yards out and go to the house with them, that hurt them. The big play offense. Spread them out. That's what these defensive coordinators worry about when they play the Chiefs, is that breakaway speed, that they have that ability to turn small gains into very large gains. They didn't have that tonight.
913-576-7610. Cameron in St. Joe, what's up?
Hey, Pete and Jay, thanks for taking my call. Big fans of your guys'.
Oh, thank you.
I want to get your guys' thoughts on you know, what was going through your guys' mind after the 50-yard pass play that Williams made there at the end of the game, and then you know, what you thought of the adjustments offensively and defensively this team made in the second half, especially with Tyreek being out. I mean, in the first half, we saw a couple of plays with passing out, covering Eckler. They switched that up to Charvarius and, you know, Sorensen at certain times, but it seemed like they made the adjustments they needed to in the second half, and it certainly paid off there.
I got a little concerned when Rivers got that, but again, I thought he would revert and have a bonehead play, either a fumble, an interception, and he took advantage. Mike Williams is 6'4", 220 pounds. You know, he's high-pointing. You throw the ball and hope your receiver comes down for it. That's what he was doing. It was a lot of just close your eyes and throw the football for Phillip Rivers. And Mike Williams, a big wide receiver, he's going to get those type of plays.
Right.
Especially when you're 6'4" and can jump out of the room like Mike Williams can. Phillip Rivers can just throw the ball up at times, and he is going to come down with it because of the size difference and the mismatch he provides the defenses. But, yeah, it concerned me a little bit. But not really. As I told Pete, you know, when the score, even 24-17, I thought this game was over. And just because I just thought the Phillip Rivers and the Chargers wouldn't do things at the end. They wouldn't complete, wouldn't finish albeit they made it close there at the end. I thought they'd do it, but again, they charged her like I expect them to do. They did. They charged her. Just like they did against the Raiders. They're chokers.
I look at that first half, and the Chiefs' defense, I mean, you look at the score, and a lot of people be like, oh, the defense played well the whole game. They really didn't play well in the first half. The Chargers, well, they had more than 300 yards that they were able to get against the Chiefs' defense. They stepped up a little bit in the red zone.
At one point, it was 312 yards to 109.
But, right, it was mistakes by Phillip Rivers even early in this game that bailed the defense out a little bit, I thought. Bad mistakes by Rivers, just throwing the ball all over the place. And there were adjustments made pretty clearly in the halftime locker room that led to more success. So that's a credit to Steve Spagnuolo.
I'll give Steve Spagnuolo a lot of credit for changing things up. Just the difference. I mean, there for a while, 312 yards in the first half. There for a while till the very end, they only had 65 yards of offense. And again, four straight chances with the score 24-17 to come down and do something against the Chiefs in every single time, whether... Some of the times I felt Rivers just threw the ball up for grabs. But again, some of those plays the defense did force him to make some errant plays.
That's right. Call us and get involved with us, 913-576-7610. Big Al, we have time for a quick call. What's up?
Hey, guys. That was a good win.
Yes.
It's always good when you win, right? But
that's right.
I wanted to give kudos, like you guys said, after the defense. I mean, they deserve it. They played good. I mean, if you think about it, we could have put the game away. With Matthew's second interception, obviously he dropped it. We all saw that, which is too bad. But what I'm kind of pissed about is ESPN after the game, still cut the Chiefs D down. And I wanted to get y'all's opinion on that. They said that overall they think our team is still like in the top, like maybe the top 10 overall as far as, compared to like the Patriots and the Ravens, et cetera, right? I won't name them all off, but what I want to ask you guys one more thing is kind of aggravated me is we had the ball the last part of the game, three series,
yep.
Right? Mahomes has it, and it to me it's got to be coaching where he's telling to throw screen passes like two different series there, and obviously they blew up. But I just wanted to get you all a thought on that whole sequence of on the offense in this case not playing as good as I thought throughout the game. Thank you.
Yeah, we certainly thought that at the end of the game. I mean, at least I thought this, Jay. I don't know if you agree with me or not.
I agree.
The offense just got too passive, and it looked like they were trying to force these running back screens that weren't working.
Like
when,
the killer instinct.
When you were throwing down the field moments ago or minutes ago, game minutes ago, to Travis Kelce and get Sammy Watkins involved. C-Dot made a good point to before when he comes in. He goes, did Sammy play today? He had a couple catches and you remember those, but at the same time, it wasn't the impact that you expect from Sammy Watkins, especially given what he's being compensated.
It was a total bend but not break. If you look at the stat sheet, you think 23 first downs for the Chargers, 18 for the Chiefs, 438 yards of offense for the Chargers, 310 for the Chiefs, 6 yards of play. They averaged 6 yards of play today for the Chiefs, so that means, two plays and you got a first down. The turnovers did hurt them. But if you're just looking at the stat sheet, say, wow, this defense. But again, it's bend but not break. How many points do you give up in the game? And the Chiefs didn't. Who had the ball? And again, this is not a game to cut down the Chiefs' defense. When you give the Chiefs or the Chargers and Phillip Rivers four different chances to come down and tie the football game or take a lead and they didn't do it, that's a problem. And that's a good thing for the defense because they stepped up. And they made it difficult for the Chargers that have had trouble scoring this year as well.
Chiefs win 24-17 against the Chargers in Mexico City. This is the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. When we come back, you'll get to hear from Tyrann Mathieu, spoke to the media after the game. And we will name our AP player of the game. That's next.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. Chiefs win 24-17 in Mexico City. Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, Nick Price behind the glass. It's officially Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you, Jay. Beautiful day. Good day to be a Chiefs fan.
It's only been 3 minutes of this day, Pete. How's it
a beautiful day so far. It's Victory Tuesday. Hashtag Victory Tuesday.
Victory Tuesday.
Chiefs safety
Tyrann Mathieu from his Twitter is already celebrating Victory Tuesday with all kinds of tweets, calling himself the landlord, saying thank you to Mexico City. This guy is living on cloud nine as they are taking off probably shortly into the clouds to return to Kansas City. Before that, he did speak to the media following the game. Here's Tyrann Mathieu and the Chiefs media.
The food was great at the hotel, so everybody was fine, and so we really enjoyed it here.
Tyrann, we talked earlier this week, and you said that the defense is actually real close to closing out games and being able to make turnovers. Is this one of those games that you were talking about?
Well, yeah. You know, we felt like we did a lot of good things, you know, throughout the football game. Felt like the biggest emphasis was really how we start the game and then how we close out football games. So felt like our guys stepped up and made that play that I was talking about all week. So real happy for Rashad and Dan. But collectively as a defense, thought we played together. We communicated consistently throughout the game. And then Coach Spags called some great calls today.
What do you think the impact was of that first interception, and also what can you describe what happened on the one that you couldn't hold on to?
Yeah, well, I think the first play is just we run that coverage a lot, and it really puts me in the position to read the quarterback and really use my instincts to make a play. And I was very fortunate that Rivers didn't see me and threw it to me. Happy I caught that one. The second one, kind of mad about that one. That was kind of a freebie, but I thought our defense bounced back, had my back. So we was able to recover from that.
Mathieu, what are those things you have to improve in order to win that division and the Raiders the next week after the bye week? You know, tomorrow Mexico national team soccer is playing. You going to the match in Toluca?
Nah, we're gonna head back out. So,
what's your favorite player from Mexico soccer team?
I'm not sure. But I'll just say that I like everyone. How about that?
What are those things, key things to improve in order to win the division?
Yeah, I think this time of the year, November, December, defenses have to play really well. You know, we had 2-3 months to prepare for offenses, so a lot of defenses have a good grips of, you know, what the offense is going to do. So I think this time of the year, it really comes down to, you know, playing sound defense, playing technique, and then, you know, making those effort plays, making those tough plays.
How did you see the field conditions today?
I felt like it was fine. I didn't have any complaints about it. I was more so happy to play in front of the fans. It looked like it was a packed house, and they stayed all the way through the game. So that was really encouraging.
The grass, did you feel like it was like the conditions of a field itself good to play a football game today?
Oh yeah, of course. I felt like we didn't. It wasn't that much of a factor. Maybe it was a little bit slick, but we playing snow, we playing rain. We play in different conditions, so you know I don't think that's necessarily an issue for us.
Tyrann, the defense had 4 interceptions, but are you still kind of concerned, obviously, with 4 interceptions that the defense had that the game was as close as it still was at the end?
Yeah, at the end of the day, we don't mind being in those kind of football games. I felt like we've been challenged a lot this season. You know, we've played a lot of good football teams, a lot of good quarterbacks. You know, we've been in that situation, maybe 4 or 5 times this year. I think our defense is starting to get confidence. I think we're starting to want to be in that situation, so we can make a play and we can get the ball back to our offense.
Tyrann, this was a heated game. We saw you guys competitive going back. The competitive juices are going back and forth. Just how can you guys build on this as a defense, knowing that it came down to the wire and that you made plays when you go on and take the bye week and go on to Oakland?
Yeah, I think it's all about, really staying together, through the ups and the downs. And, we've been able to do that defensively. Felt like, before last week, we was playing pretty decent defense. And then, last week, we kind of let the game get away from us. And so we absolutely wanted to be in this situation again. And and I thought we responded well. I thought we responded the right way. And like I said, I'm really happy that my guys came up with the big play.
Chief safety Tyrann Mathieu, 8 tackles in the game, 4 solo, 1 interception, and 2 passes defense. Really could have been 2 interceptions, and if he had gotten that second one, which was right in his hands, would have been a much more easy win for the Chiefs.
And, he talked about the quality of quarterbacks they've played this year, and that was one of the things that I noticed, Pete, whenever we were in here in the spring.
Scheduled pizza
when
party.
When the schedule came out here. Yeah, the scheduled pizza party that we had. But some of the quarterbacks are playing, like Stafford. Although Brissett beat them. And then Deshaun Watson did. They did beat Lamar Jackson. Lost Aaron Rodgers. Let Ryan Tannehill come down and beat them. That's the asterisk on the whole situation. The winnable games. I mean, they should
Brissett have hasn't been great either.
They could have beat the Colts. Could have beat the Texans. Could have beat the Titans. Should have beat the Titans. Again, you have that kind of lead late in the game. There's just a couple of these games you'd like to have back.
You're also playing.
But they're always within a score. Always within a score. But, man, again, I told Rodgers. You it'd be tough for Andy Reid watching film because there's one or two plays here or there and this team could be undefeated.
Well, yeah. I thought that a healthy Chiefs would have been at least in consideration for an undefeated record. I made that very clear.
They could have been.
It didn't come to...
Let's be honest, they could be undefeated.
It didn't come to pass. There were a ton of injuries this year. Not that I'm making excuses, but there were. And I think the Chiefs managing through all the injuries, including one to the reigning MVP, to go 7-4, puts them in good position now to make a run through the playoffs. And I really think this bye week is coming at a really good time for them. Tyrann Mathieu, again, had a good game, but he is not our AP player of the game. We will give this one to Frank Clark. Woo! 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 Frank Clark wins our AP player of the game with 5 tackles, 2 solo. He had the 1 sack, 3 quarterback hits, 1 tackle for loss, 1 pass defense, and 1 forced fumble. Best game as a Chief, in my opinion. The AP player of the game is brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry. Jewelry that's dazzled Kansas City for over 40 years. Tune in to Fesco in the morning tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. And if you know the player of the game, which is, Jay, who is it?
Frank Clark.
You could win $25 to Topper's Pizza and 1 monthly winner. Win the grand prize of a $500 Mazarese Jewelry gift card. Frank Clark, your AP player of the game.
And the one thing about Frank Clark, too, is, and Philip Rivers knew what was going on. He knew Pipkins could not stop Frank Clark. Frank Clark ended up with 3 quarterback hits, but I do think that he kind of affected the psyche of Philip Rivers. I thought he hurried some of his throws, heard footsteps of Frank Clark.
Seeing ghosts, baby.
So even though you look at the stat sheet and you look at Frank Clark's and the 1 sack, but he played better than that tonight, and he should have. We're waiting for Frank Clark to step up. I've been waiting for all year. I was big on the Frank Clark signing, and I still am because I do think this guy significantly is injured with that pinched nerve, and it is affecting him. But he needed to step up tonight. There's no depth there, and he did. But I do think he affected Philip Rivers because he owned Pipkins. He totally owned him.
The pinched nerve sounded very serious to me, but from what I can tell, and you never know how these things go, you never know all the exact details, but it really seemed like he might have just needed those 2 weeks off, and he is starting to look like, again, and I understand who he was up against tonight, and, you know, you've made that very clear, but he's starting to look like that player that you traded for, and I do want to see it like you do against a little bit stiffer competition, but at the same time, you only play who you play, and a really good night for Frank Clark.
You know what they're going to need him when they play? Tom Brady. Because what's the one thing that Tom Brady's been able to do? Keep the jersey clean.
That's right.
Against the Chiefs, whether it's in the postseason.
Right.
They haven't been able to rattle Tom Brady. And again, I don't care about the sacks on Tom Brady, the pressure on Tom Brady. Can he be a thorn in the side of the New England Patriots getting back there and rattling Tom Brady? Because Tom Brady will get rattled. And you see him this year with pressure. He didn't like it. No quarterback likes pressure.
No.
But Manning and Brady, the one way teams always beat them is when they had their pass, when they were able to get to the quarterback. The quarterback hits, whether it's just right after they throw the ball, hit them, get that jersey
Make them
dirty.
Uncomfortable.
Make them uncomfortable. That's the thing. That's the word right there, uncomfortable. And I felt that Tom Brady's felt way too comfortable against the Chiefs as of late. And Frank Clark, you know, he's brought here to beat the New England Patriots, to beat the teams in front of you like New England.
There are a couple people that were brought here to beat the New England Patriots. Mathieu is another one. Steve Spagnuolo, who has done it before on the biggest of stages. I also think that Brandon Daly is a guy that was someone who was very close to Belichick.
And in the way the Patriots have been playing offense, yeah, the Chiefs, they can beat them with this defense.
No, I'm with
they
you.
They can.
And they, like you said, they made the offseason moves, and you're always comparing yourself to the New England Patriots. Again, it got a little dicey lately with some of these bad losses, but at the same time, I think now you can refocus. You can take a break here. Now, what do you do? You don't look ahead to the New England Patriots. That would be crazy. You have to beat the Oakland Raiders, who have suddenly become this pseudo-contender. You take care of that game, and then you worry about New England.
And I think the Chiefs have gotten to that point, too. You know, you always look at the offseason moves the Chiefs make. You got to beat the New England Patriots. And I look at this division, and they know that they have to play Mahomes twice a year. And how are you going to stop the Chiefs? And again, Denver goes defensive head coach with Vic Fangio. And I remember, you know, I brought this up before, but talking to Andy Lindholm, there's radio out in Denver. And the number one thing that concerns Broncos fans are you have to face Mahomes twice a year. It's the same sentiment back when Elway was there. And you just know every year you got to beat Elway or you have to beat Peyton Manning. It was that thorn in the side. Always that thing you're thinking about on the side as a fan. Like, we got to beat this guy.
Right.
And Mahomes, I believe, is in their head. And the AFC West is in big trouble because of Mahomes and because of Andy Reid's ownership of this division. What he's doing in this division is not good. He is dominating every single team in this division.
Chiefs win, again, a division game, 24-17. It's the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. When we come back, we will give our final verdict. It's a Victory Tuesday. This is the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jade Binkley.
Welcome back in to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. We're wrapping things up here as the Chiefs win on Monday Night Football 24-17. Thank goodness, because this would have been a miserable 2 weeks had they lost and been out of the playoff picture.
Do you think the Chargers would have gone for two had they tied it up?
I think absolutely. I don't think they wanted it to go to overtime. Some of the things you're seeing out of Twitter, you know,
can you imagine if they lost in that fashion?
I can't. I can't. I don't want to. It's gonna get me upset. Some of the notes that you're seeing out of Twitter, Sam Mellegar, the Kansas City Star, is that perhaps the field wasn't as bad as it looked. A couple players were asked about the field, and they said it was okay. I mean, it looked like it was terrible.
Well, they replaced divots at halftime, so I don't know. I think that might be just being nice.
It's being good members of the Shield.
Just being nice. It was a great atmosphere. Tons of Chiefs fans made it down there. I know the Chargers sold their 40,000 tickets like that, the ones that they were allotted, but a lot of fans showed up to the game. It was a great atmosphere. I will give them that.
Remarkable that the Chargers, it looked like they were able to get more fans down to Mexico City than they can in L.A.
Yeah, they were probably shocked to actually see fans. I remember on Twitter, the Chargers last night were showing the people at the hotel waiting for them to arrive. They were like rock stars walking the hotel. That's probably never happened. They probably walk around L.A. and nobody knows who the hell they are. And yet they walked into the hotel and they were rock stars. They're probably shocked about it.
I don't know if they as an organization are happy that they left San Diego at this point. I feel like they're just a second fiddle to the Los Angeles Rams.
Well, they are. SoFi Stadium, they're moving in because it is the Rams and they're kind of staying there. Again, I think it's akin to, you know, renting the garage out above your mom's house, you know.
Yeah, it's not,
I think that it's not great. The Chargers, they don't have any fans. They play in a soccer stadium. It's overrun by the visiting fans every time. They don't have a home field advantage. It's why they agreed to give up a home divisional game.
Right.
Like, this wasn't just a game against another. No, this is a home divisional game that you don't give up.
Well, you've seen when the Chiefs visit the Chargers, it is just basically a Chiefs home game.
Did you see with the Packers when they played the Packers this year? It was all Pack fans. Steelers dominated that place so much that they even played the Steelers music at that stadium.
That's bad.
It is bad.
That's bad. That was the Packers game was the one game that the Chargers are going to look back at and say, what happened? That game? We got to do more of that. That was the one game.
Well, they held the Packers to 184 yards of total offense. It's the week after they beat the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. They had 422 yards. Shane Steichen, their offensive coordinator, great game. Great game plan in that one. Lost it this time. And again, I thought Phillip Rivers was just pressing a lot tonight. And we've seen this out of Phillip before. But again, I felt he was just throwing the ball up for grabs at times. I think they thought the Chiefs defense was going to play bad. I think they've watched a lot of the film of the Kansas City Chiefs defense. I do feel that they could have their way and do what they wanted with the Chiefs defense. Just wasn't there, and I thought Phillip Rivers really, really pressed in this game, as he has in this division.
And I thought, too, we were worried about this going into the game. Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler, they were held somewhat in check.
Except for the receiving game.
Well, Austin Ekeler had 8 receptions for 108 yards. That wasn't good. But as far as the rushing goes, 5 for 24. Melvin Gordon, 14 for 69. If you told me before the game that Melvin Gordon was going to get around 15 carries, I would think that he would have more than 69 yards.
And Phillip Rivers misleading 353 yards, because, again, a lot of those came on that short passing game to Austin Ekeler.
Right. It was a lot of yards after the catch for Phillip Rivers. I also thought...
Then the 50-yard air ball that he threw to Mike Williams, just go up and get it.
I thought Mecole Hardman looked okay. There were a few moments where I thought, okay, you could start to see some progress there. The Chiefs probably expected more out of him, given that Tyreek Hill left this game pretty early. Your big breadwinner when it came to Chiefs skill position players was Travis Kelce with the 7 receptions for 92 yards and the wide open touchdown.
Yeah.
Which is always a good thing.
Yeah. It was good to see Kelce step up in the second half there. They needed him. You know, when Tyreek Hill's not out there, somebody else step up in that situation like they had. But again, I'd like to see this team with its full complement of weapons.
Talked about it in the pregame. Kelce was only 23 yards away from hitting the 6,000-yard receiving milestone. So he does that, and he has become the fastest tight end to collect 6,000 receiving yards and 450 receptions in NFL history.
Not to mention, he's going to be the first tight end ever to have 4 straight years
knock on wood
of 1,000 yards receiving. Knock on wood on that.
Got to stay healthy in order to do that. And that was the knock on wood for the Chiefs.
They could have a couple Hall of Famers. We're not doing
the Raiders. Knock on wood if you're with me. John Gruden, you could shove it, my man.
Knock on wood if you're with me. They could have 2 Hall of Famers on this offense.
Jay, time
yes.
for the final verdict.
Order in the court.
The final verdict brought to you by Scruggs Law Firm. You deserve more than a lawyer.
Scruggs Law Firm is your local injury lawyer. We are wrapping up Monday Night Football as the Chiefs knock off the Chargers 24-17. Jay, give me that final verdict.
Well, the defense is the big story tonight. They stepped up for Patrick Mahomes. Been waiting for this to happen. What'd they do? The score's 24-17. Chargers get the ball back. Punt. Defense stops them. They get the ball back again. 24-17. Punt.
That's right.
They get the ball back again. Chiefs defense standing. Interception. They get the ball back again. Interception. So, again, the Chiefs 4 chances there at the end with the Chargers within a score. And stopping Phillip Rivers. And again, I look at this division. Andy Reid now 24-3 against the AFC West since 2015. We're looking at a good chunk of time. And the Chiefs 3 of 5 games at home against the same division that Andy Reid has so dominated, including the Raiders. The team that's on their heel has to go to Arrowhead Stadium next. Not only that, the game was flexed to the afternoon. People looking at this game. However, Andy Reid's mastery of this division. Raiders were lucky to get a win over the Chargers. Chargers dominated the game, but Phillip Rivers collapsed as he had against this division. 9 picks in 3 games. It's good for the Kansas City Chiefs that nobody in this division seemingly wants to step up. And props to the defense tonight for stepping up when it mattered for the Kansas City Chiefs, because they bent. They got some yards on them, but they didn't break.
Chiefs overcome what was a bad first half of defensive football thanks to some mistakes by Phillip Rivers and taking advantage of some turnovers. There was no Alex Okafor in this game, no Kendall Fuller. Tyreek Hill checks out early. Damian Williams checks out early. I thought, again, a real inexcusable lack of aggressiveness by the Chiefs offense. Seems like they got a little passive, a little bit scared toward the end of the game. And then the interception dropped by Tyrann Mathieu. Guys like Travis Kelce, like Frank Clark, like Rashad Fenton, like Charvarius Ward stepped up in this game. Anthony Hitchens, you said, led tackles for the Chiefs with 10. And so there were some guys that you really have expected to be leaders on this football team. There were a number of things that went against the Chiefs in this game, but they managed to win based off of some of those leadership guys. And, of course, the defense as a whole. Special teams was good after a week than when it was really bad. And you're starting to see signs, right, of this entire team
coming together. Now what you get is 13 days off. Andy Reid can look at the film. Andy Reid's record after the bye, it's always a story because it's ridiculous. It's a big game against the Raiders. You see if they win next week, if they can keep the pace. And then you get this 7-4 versus 7-4 matchup for the division and really control down the stretch. Should be a fun time to be a Chiefs fan, and I think they're figuring it out. They're going to get healthy with this bye, and it'll be good spirits moving forward.
Nice job, Pete. Knock on wood if you're with me.
I don't know why you're doing that. It's basically Raiders week. Final verdict brought to you by Scruggs Law Firm, your local injury lawyer. Monday Night Football has come and gone in Mexico City. Here we are, week 12, the bye week. And now, as we enter Tuesday, Jay, did you ever think that at the bye week, the Chiefs would be 7-4?
No, I didn't. And, you know, I didn't think that we'd miss Mahomes a couple of games this year, as tough right. as he is. Unbelievable that he came back. I mean, really, when we think about it and look at him, this guy dislocated his knee. And he's back there running for 60 yards. Did we ever, when he was down, Pete, you remember that night? We're sitting here watching it.
You were crying.
And I wasn't.
Yeah, you had tears in your eyes.
He's down on the field.
He did.
Did we expect him to be rushing for 60 yards? We were unsure when he was coming back. Remember, this was going to be the target game
right.
for him to come back. And we were wondering about it because of the bye week. Would they hold Mahomes until the bye week, not taking a chance on that field? And then he goes and runs for 60 yards. Didn't have a great night through the air, but he did on the ground.
Yeah, you know what? It was that uncharacteristic night for Mahomes where there were some mistakes and some throws that he missed, and he was the first to admit that in the post-game interview right away with ESPN.
But he's human.
And then, I'm sorry?
But he's human.
Right, he's human. He's going to have off days like we all do. And again, I think more times than not, you're going to bet on Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, just completely, even though it was what would be a so-so game for Mahomes, played way better than Phillip Rivers, because Rivers, his team and all the players were giving them a good chance. He just was screwing it up time and time again.
I think they felt the pressure of six losses, knowing, hey, if we don't get this done, it's going to be seven losses.
Well, it was just him. It was just him. I mean, they could have took control of this game in the first half, and Rivers just kept making mistakes.
Yeah, I thought bad play calling. I thought Rivers was off his game. I just think all the way around. Again, this is what we see in the AFC West right now. A lot of incompetence.
A lot of incompetence, and the Chiefs are fortunate to be in front. They still control very much their own destiny. It's a big matchup with the Raiders coming up in 13 days. We'll have plenty of coverage tomorrow. More talk about this game, starting with Fesco in the morning at 6 o'clock, continuing on with Show and Burn, then into the drive where we heard before there'll be a Phillip Rivers funeral. Leading into Bink at Night and tomorrow, right? Bink at Night.
No. Bink at Night tomorrow. Basketball.
Get basketball some, tomorrow.
K-State Hoops.
Wednesday, Bink at Night. And then Arrowhead Pride Radio as well as we head into this bye week. Any last words, Jay?
No, but I really appreciate the effort of Nick Price tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Outstanding job.
Thank you to the callers, Ken Swanson, the Arrowhead Pride team. Nick Price doing a fabulous job. The Kansas City Chiefs win 24-17, improved to 7-4. Thank you. Have a good night.